You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Just to make it
neither
gentlemen.
The opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice.
We're on?
Joe, you're never on.
Are we never on?
Is not a substitute
even
for
when we're on, we're not on.
From a qualified person or firm.
You know, securities I have been told that I'm off many times.
Financial member FINRA and SIPC.
Very
good. Alan promises this to be a very interesting hour.
He was saving that up, he says, because you know Alan's our only resident rabbi for Jesus in the house, and you know I just think that's just the neatest thing. But I really feel disappointed you're not wearing your skull cap. You know, I
mean, yarmulke.
I need that yarmulke on you. This is, you know, this makes me feel better.
Well, you know, I can't leave you two alone for 1 week.
Come back
and look at this. What's going on here?
Well, you know. It's sometimes it's a little tough to be wearing a hat when it's 80 degrees in January.
Boy, some kosher Jew he would be. I'm telling you what. Last time I was in a temple, they make you wear one to walk in the door.
That's an Orthodox temple, but there are temples. Some conservative temples don't. Reform temples don't. Messianic temples.
They don't.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Well, you know, Vince, you and I were raised Catholic, right?
Yes, sir.
And you remember how the women always put a doily on their head
yes,
when they went in?
Absolutely.
You know, the men couldn't mm-hmm. wear hats, but the women had to cover their heads.
That's right.
So they didn't have anything. They put toilet paper on their head or something when they put
I never
put
saw
body
any,
pins.
No
you know?
Toilet
remember,
paper.
Remember the
There's never been toilet paper.
No?
No.
Doilies.
Doilies.
Doilies,
yes.
Yeah. It was just...
Or well, hats.
Well, you know,
with
you,
the hats.
You know, when you talk about tradition... And Alan, you're probably better at this than I am, but the Judeo-Christian, quote, it should be Judeo-Catholic, because the traditions that Catholicism adopted were straight out of Jewish tradition. Like bar mitzvah is not called bar mitzvah. It's called, no, that's the wrong word, confirmation.
Yeah.
Yep, same age, right? Transition from supposedly childhood to adulthood, just tradition.
Yeah, but the Judeo part of that was around way before Christ.
No kidding.
Yeah,
boy.
So you didn't have Christians.
Well, you're kidding me. I didn't know that.
Well, don't forget that Christ was a practicing Jew.
Absolutely,
he was. That he was practicing according to the law, the Judaic law.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Absolutely right.
I don't know. You can keep a kosher kitchen there.
Do I keep a kosher?
No.
I don't think so.
When I bought my house in Sewell's Point, the family I bought it from were Jewish, and they had two kitchens, complete, two sets of everything. I mean, that was, you know, they were right according to the book, which is it's a tough thing to do. But hey, you just have to separate everything, and that was just their system, and it works, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
1-888-221-8990. All right, folks, this is a critical time now. You're
What's
supposed
so critical
to write
about it?
That number down. This is a class.
Students.
And we have tests later.
Write it down.
The internet invades everybody these days. We are from Russia and we're hacking.
Well, everything has a Russia component now.
No,
everything.
It just seems like it, doesn't it? 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. We have sitting here with us today, Alan Love, who's a guest. He's not part of the group, but you might as well be. Alan is a semi or mostly retired attorney. He's also a semi or mostly retired financial advisor. He's also a semi, what else do you, Alan, you're a prosecuting attorney, which is an attorney.
But he's semi-everything. What
he's
is semi-everything,
stuff? Right?
And he's a messianic Jew.
That makes sense. May I make a semi-suggestion?
Leave me alone, Joe.
Besides writing down that great phone number you gave, 888-221-8990, some of you may want to actually dial that number and call in here and ask the team a question.
Exactly. We've got taxes. This is tax season.
Hey, CPA is sitting here right now.
Absolutely. This is valuable time I'm taking out of my day to come talk to our listeners.
Well, let me get my violin out.
Don't get the violin. Get the calls. Get them in here.
Well, the tax code always changes.
Only 76,000 pages.
Nothing serious. No. And now, this year should be a very interesting year.
Well, they're going to redo the whole code. You know that.
Well, you know what I say in theory, because what people say they're going to do and what actually gets accomplished, especially in our governmental system.
Well, there's too many tax lawyers. You know,
You know, you think lawyers get paid by the word, right, Alan?
What I mean by that is I probably should clarify that, not that there's too many tax lawyers, but they have a lot of influence in Washington, and that's what I mean.
Absolutely.
For them to change the code, for example, they wanted to go with a flat tax at one point.
I know.
Just take your income, multiply it by some rate, and that's
done.
Your tax.
Your value add. There's all kinds of ways to simplify.
And I had clients say to me, well, you know, that's going to put you out of business. I said, no, because it's never going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll never happen.
What happens is death and taxes are never going to go away. How they get the money from you will change from time to time.
Yes. But, and whose pocket it comes out of, and the redistribution that's going on is going to constantly be going on. Always.
So Vince Rizzino, CPA, is here. Pastor Dave is here being moderator, and he's one of the students, and we're teaching him every week, and he's getting more learned every day.
He's going to start asking you questions.
He's going to start asking me questions. This is good. And we have Alan Love, who is our converted rabbi, who's now I wish you'd have been a rabbi, because my story would sound a lot better, you know, because you could pull it off.
Well, he could be a rabbi.
You could.
There are ordained rabbis, but the word rabbi actually
means teacher.
Right. So anybody who is able to impart knowledge to other people
technically
is a teacher.
So and I've been a rabbi.
Now, wait
many
a
times.
Minute. I'm waiting for you to impart some knowledge to me, though.
That's above my pay grade.
Joe Martek, financial advisor, and we started doing these radio shows, for those that have not listened before, back prior to 2004. Don't know exactly when, but we know we're getting a phone call.
Caller,
so I am interrupted, and that's the way it works.
It worked.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question on property and taxes.
Very good.
Oh, okay.
My mother has a piece of property that my son wants to purchase, and my mom would be holding the mortgage. What would be her taxes on that if she sold it for the same amount that she bought it for?
Well, if she sells it in an arm's length transaction with your son, it would be no gain or loss if she selling it for exactly the same price that she bought it for.
So she'd have no tax consequence except if she's charging interest.
Well, then, going forward, if there's a mortgage on it, yes, then the interest that he pays to her, he would get a deduction for the interest.
And she'd
have interest income.
She'd have interest income. Interest.
Yes, that's the other side, yes, going forward.
Okay, so every year she would put that mortgage interest in.
In fact, yes. In fact, your son would have to report that on a Schedule A as interest paid.
He would get a tax deduction. Whether he buys it as an investment property or he buys it as a homestead,
way,
makes no difference.
He's getting a deduction, but if it's to an individual that he's making payments, then he must indicate the person's name and their social.
Right.
That secures his deduction, and B, it's like a 1099. The other side has to be reported.
Now, let me complicate this for this lady. I'm going to complicate. Let's just say your mom paid $100,000 for this house, right? And then she's selling it to her son for $100,000. So there's no taxable gain that she has to worry about. However, Vince, she had expenses over the years. If it was her homestead, doesn't that affect her cost basis?
Well, I understand this was land, right, caller? Is this land or is this a house?
It's a land.
It's land.
Just a piece of property?
It's a piece of property.
Okay, then never mind that question. Yeah, that has nothing to do. Okay. All right. Did Vince answer your question?
You did. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you for calling.
All you callers out there, call us, please.
Thanks again. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So Joe Martek, financial advisor, is here. Like I said, we started doing these shows prior to 2004, and the concept was simple. Joe Martek's got lots of clients here, meaning on the Treasure Coast, but also in 13 states because people move and referrals and all the rest of that. And in my not too humble opinion, in order to be a credible financial professional, you will align yourself with other types of professionals to help your clients.
All credible.
All credible. And the concept that it's a big word, credible. How do you do such a thing? Well, when I started doing this, I was looking for people with experience, not brand new in business, because if you're going to make mistakes, normally when you're brand new in business, you might make a few more than you've been around for 10 or 20 years. Number two,
look at this.
They're supposed to call me from time to time if they want to stay in the group.
There you go.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah,
they do that.
Hi. They're ready. Okay, so how can I advise my friend? She has assets and she's like 70 and her husband's a little older. And it appears he may have to go to a nursing home. So I said, if you don't protect your assets, you won't have any after you're finished here. There's something she needs to do. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, number one is see an attorney. I hate to say this. And there's a number of attorneys that are, quote, elder law attorneys, and that's pretty much what you want to see. If you don't have one or can't find one, I've got a list of a few that I can impart to you. I hate to do that over the radio because they're not a part of our group, but I can talk to you afterwards. Let me give you some generalities, though. Your friend is in the state of Florida?
Yes.
And her husband's in the state of Florida?
Yes.
What happens is Florida has a rule that says her assets are hers and his are his. Now, if they're...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. If they are jointly owned, then if he goes into a nursing home, jointly owned assets are considered his and they're a part of... He has to liquidate and spend all this money before the state will come in and pay the bill for a nursing home. Okay? But there are some loopholes. There are some loopholes that this is where the attorney comes in, because real estate can actually be traded for other pieces of real estate within this thing and moved out of one person's name into the other person's name legally, which now would kind of help make him more eligible for Medicaid, which will pay the nursing home bill. Also, if they're, let's say, joint CDs or bank accounts in both names, and let's say there's 100 or 200,000, whatever the number is, the state also has another thing that allows one spouse to give that to the other spouse and set up a pension, which is usually called at least a five-year annuity contract, where she then will collect all that money back over a five-year period plus interest, and it's no longer in his name. So I'm just giving you two quickies. So now the end of the conversation is you left your name and number with Pastor Tom, and what I'll do is I will talk to you afterwards. And
perfect. Now, after five, right?
What did you just point at? I just had Pastor Tom. Call is holding.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were off.
You thought I was. Oh, I am off, but you thought I'm still here, though.
He's not on, but.
Well, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, I will give you a call back, and then we can try to steer her to the right place.
And there's
to
a certain amount of cash, Joe, that the spouse is allowed to keep as well.
It's like $25,000
or something. More than that.
Is it more than
that? $100,000.
Anyway, the rules keep changing, but you need to talk to an elder law attorney. It's not going to be Vince or I. Those are the people that can help.
No, the lawyers should really be should be instructing you.
God bless you. Thank you for helping.
We'll give you a call back. If not today, it might be tomorrow. Is that okay?
Beautiful. That's fine.
Thank you, caller. Thank you.
1-888-221-8990. We lost that call?
Lost the call.
So hey, you know, listen, I've lost calls before. You know,
I hate to lose calls.
You know?
Caller, call back.
Yes, call back. 1-888-221-8990. But that was a good question that we don't get too much.
Yes, we don't.
And you know, it's a big nursing home's like $7,000 a month now.
Easy.
I mean, it's expensive.
Easy.
Vince, if
caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
I have a question.
Sure.
My son and I bought a condo together, and he lives in the condo, and he makes the mortgage. We're both on the mortgage, and we're both on the deed, but he does make the payments, and he lives there. As far as deducting the interest that's been paid on his taxes, can he take all of that interest himself I mean, I want him to take it. He wants to take it.
Yes, caller. He can take it if he's actually making the payments out of his checking account. Then, yes, he can deduct those payments. As long as you're not double-dipping and you're taking some of it and he's taking some
of it. What you don't want to do is both of you take the same amount. It's like people, when they get divorced, they each claim the child, and the Internal Revenue doesn't like that.
No. But if he's making the payments.
We're both in agreement. He makes the payments, and
here comes a question, though, that I'm going to ask Vince right now, and I'm not 100% on this. Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Can the son claim that as a homestead?
If he lives in the property, yes, he can.
Even though the mom's on the deed?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes, that's okay.
Okay. So
he just filed his homestead. I live in another house with my husband, and I file a homestead there.
As long as he owns the property? I'm sorry, I was just talking to Joe. I was going to say to you, as long as he owns the property, he's on the deed, and he lives there, yes, that's homesteadable.
Okay. Because, I have seen where stay with me for a second, caller, because I'm going to pick on Vince just a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm used to it. Don't worry.
It's not a big deal. But I've seen where a parent will add a child to their home.
Yes.
Okay. And they'll put the child on the deed.
Okay.
And the child gets sued.
Okay.
And that house is no longer a homestead.
That's true.
So
could be disqualified, yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is, how can the son be a homestead if mom is on the deed and she doesn't live there?
Because the homestead is the whole tax consequence. It's a tax concept.
But it's also, homesteads are not subject to attachment by creditors.
Exactly. That's part of it, too. But he lives there. It's his house. He's on the mortgage.
Okay, well, let me give you back my example. I had this happen to a client of mine.
Okay.
Dad lives in the house. Nice old guy.
He lives there. Old guy. He's on the mortgage.
In the homestead. No, he's the owner.
He's the owner. And he lives there.
And he added one of his kids to the deed.
Okay. And the kid doesn't live there.
And the kid doesn't live there. And the kid got sued, and dad lost his house.
Whoa.
So I'm concerned about.
So am I. I don't know how that happened.
Okay. Here's what I guess what I'm saying, caller, is this is a situation that is this may be a new rule, might be an old rule, but what I would do is, if he filed for homestead, your son, and you're on the deed, just make sure that it qualifies with the county when they file that homestead. And obviously you can't have two homesteads, so you're not going to be there. But you're on the deed, not as a mortgage holder. You're on the deed as part owner. Is that correct?
I'm on the deed and the mortgage.
And the mortgage,
And the mortgage. Okay. I would just double check that with the county. And if you
he just filed it last week,
and they
in Martin County, and my name's on that. We brought the deed, and they knew about it, but I guess they can. I also live in Martin County, and they can see that I'm homesteaded at another property.
There's two concepts, Joe. There's one on the taxability of the property, and the other's liability of the property with creditors. That's a whole different. And I think that she needs to discuss that with an attorney, frankly, about the homestead and how it protects her on the mortgage. I'm talking strictly from the real estate point of view.
You
the
can
taxes
homestead.
Is homesteaded. He'll be homesteaded for that point.
My thing is, just from a lawsuit standpoint, what happened was, this has been a bone in contention with a lot of big people, really rich people up north. They come down to Florida and they buy 160 acres and put two palaces on that and spend $5 million, and then they go bankrupt, and that house is exempt because it's a homestead, and that's what's allowed.
Right, but not on a split deed, you're saying.
There might be a possibility. So I would see, the county people, when you file that thing, I don't think they have a responsibility to know the law. Necessarily, they just are going to fill in the blanks according to whatever,
and they'll fill it in as far as the taxability of the property, Joe, but not on liability.
Yeah,
that's a different issue.
I know
she should be checking with a lawyer for that.
Greg
would be perfect
this is something that I didn't even think about. So what are you saying? I'm supposed to be checking my other son's an attorney, so maybe I can ask him.
There you go. Hey, listen, call him up and just say, here's the key.
I don't understand what you're saying. If my son gets sued,
If he claims it as homestead, his house is exempt from attachment by creditors as a homestead
in
the state of Florida.
His creditors.
But you, as part owner of that house, if you got sued,
your creditors might go after that house.
Talk to your son, the attorney, and make sure that it's done properly, because I'm sure there's a way to do all of this stuff. But
we just did. When we went to buy it, and I'm sure I'm not the only parent in this position. He tried to get a mortgage on his own, and right. he couldn't qualify based upon, he had great credit and everything. It was just because he had student loans. So his income to debt ratio was too high.
Right.
And so there was no other way that he could actually get a start. So I helped him with the down payment. And then, you know, that was just kind of the stipulation that we would own it together. But he actually does do all the maintenance. And he
sure.
for, you know, all
the I would talk to your son, the attorney, and just share with him what I just explained. And maybe it was done properly, because the only reason I'm saying, and I got to tell you, it was a retired Marine who used to call me every week on the other channel, and I knew his kids, I knew his whole family, and poor dad, I mean, bam, that's what happened. Now, the other child did not live in this. The other child didn't.
The only question that we had at the time was, he said do it as a joint tenant right to survivorship, so that just in, because I am married. And, you know, it's just, if I was, something was to happen to me, he said that it would go directly to my son.
I would property. Just double check with your son, the attorney. And if that isn't one of his strengths, and, you know, not every attorney knows everything, but if he's not positive that that's not his area,
we could recommend
you
somebody
call me too. Back and I'll recommend somebody that is their area that understands.
But the question that I'm asking him is, if he gets sued,
not him,
not him, you. You're the problem.
See, he if he claimed it as a homestead, it's exempt. But you own that house with him, and it's not your homestead. You see? So, like an investment piece of property,
I mean, are you speaking in terms of like a car accident? If I get sued?
Yeah, it could be a car accident,
whatever.
Hey, you know,
wrongful death.
You know, if I know you've got this $10 million house, I might want to sue you. You know, you never know. Forgive me now. I'm being funny. But here's the key. This is Sue America, and if somebody finds out a way that you've got money that they can get away from you, attorneys love that stuff. So I would just want to know for sure what my downside was. It's just one chance in 1,000 or one chance in 10,000, but I've literally seen it happen.
You know, you have lottery winners, Joe. You have lottery winners in that arena as well.
Yeah.
Litigation.
As soon as it happens. So all I'm trying to say is contact your son. Make sure that if he's not 100%, you call us back, and we know a couple of attorneys that understand this portion pretty well, and then maybe they can bring you up to speed, because I'm not an attorney. Vince and I don't do this stuff.
No.
And Alan, you don't work on that part, do you?
No, being from Wisconsin and not being in property or real estate law, I have no comment.
Wisconsin, that's one of those states way up north where everybody's frozen.
Yes. That's why I don't wear a yarmulke down here.
He used to wear one in Wisconsin.
All right, listen, any way we can help you after you talk to your son, if he doesn't straighten it out, you call us back, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Thank
you. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, it's
I wish we could be more helpful, but those are legal questions that need to be answered by a lawyer.
I can't tell you. This guy used to call, and he was the nicest guy in the world. I know his ex-son-in-law is a client of mine, and his one daughter was a client, and this, I mean, it was very sad.
It is sad.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I don't know if you could answer it, because it's not real estate. A friend of mine, her husband is retired, and she's just concerned because she doesn't know if he should continue paying, filing his taxes because he's getting Social Security, he's not working, or should he file for him and her child and their child?
Is the only income that he's receiving now Social Security?
Yes.
Is he married?
Yes.
The wife works?
Say that, please.
Is the wife working?
Yes, the wife is working.
That might change. They file a joint return?
He has to file a joint return?
No, I'm saying, are they filing together? Because if they file together, then their combined incomes will determine whether they go over the threshold to file a tax return. If it was only him and he was only collecting Social Security, I'd say no, he doesn't have the income that would qualify him to file or obligate him to file a tax return. But the wife is the wild card, so to speak, because we don't know what she earns and whether her income combined with his Social Security might throw them into a situation.
But there's also another thing to consider. Let's say that she makes $15,000 a year and he makes $15,000 a year Social Security, and let's say that's below the threshold. However, if there was withholding taxes,
well, that's a whole nother
she
thing.
Might have money coming back.
Absolutely right. So the tax liability may be zero, which means whatever was withheld from her check might be refundable.
She'd get back.
Yeah.
So normally, Vince, wouldn't you say that if one of the two is working, shouldn't, I mean?
I think that you need to look into it. You need to talk to a preparer or your CPA, and they'll tell you for sure whether you're required to file or not and whether it's worthwhile. I usually tell them, file if you're going to get a refund.
Yeah.
Why leave the money with the government? Yeah. Even though you may not have to file, you may want to file.
If they're taking taxes and stuff out of her paycheck and they're not making a lot of money, the odds are good she can get that back.
Right.
So I would I file.
So you're saying that because she was thinking that maybe she could file as, you know, dependent, him as her dependent?
Are they married?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. A spouse is never a dependent.
Well, he may be a dependent, but she can't do it anyway.
He may be dependent, yes, but but they don't get any extra exemptions for that.
No,
they only get the normal exemption for themselves.
So you're saying then because they have a child as well?
Well, then you get an exemption.
The child would be the dependent.
That's correct. The child.
But if he's not getting an income, he doesn't have to file.
Well, here's the story. If you combine the incomes and they don't rise to the level, like for a married couple, it might be $10,000 or $11,000 a year. If they don't qualify obligated by law to file a tax return, they have an option to not file if they qualify, not to file, or they may want to file if there's been taxes withheld, but their taxes ultimately are zero on the tax return and they have withheld taxes. You may want to file to get those refunded because you don't owe anything.
There's also tax credits for children.
Exactly right,
John. And if they're not making much money, I mean,
there's the earned income credit that they might be entitled to. There's a child care credit that they might be entitled to. There's a all bunch of things. You need to talk to a CPA.
Let me ask you a question. Did they file taxes last year? Or do you know?
I believe they did. I don't know too much about that.
Ask them if they did. And if they don't like their tax preparer, have them call back. And Vince Rizzino, CPA, that's what he does. And he can sit and talk to them on the phone and counsel them and make sure they do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
But thank you.
But, you know, that was a very good point, Joe. Sometimes people should file just to get refunds.
Oh, man.
Because they may not owe any tax based on their income.
I know personally, she's got three children. And she paid no money in taxes to speak of, but she got a refund, quote, earned income.
Earned income credit.
$7,000 check because she's below the certain threshold and she's a single mother. And that she got the. So what I'm saying is, here's a husband and wife. If he's on Social Security or disability, they have another situation. And if the wife's making $15,000 a year and they have a dependent, she might be able to get back $3,000 or $4,000.
By the way, the earned income credit is something called a refundable credit, Joe. You know what that means?
No.
That means even if your tax liability is zero, the government will pay you.
There you go. You know, see, the word refund or refundable has different connotations depending on what you're talking about. In the brokerage business, if you refund something, that means you reissue that bond issue again.
Yeah. Now, in the tax world, refundable just means that it's capable of being refunded to you, even if you never paid it in the first place.
But I would be very, very careful about not filing under the circumstances they just said for the potential of them getting back a few thousand dollars that they may not have even paid in.
Exactly. All because they think, well, I didn't make much money, I don't have to file.
Yeah, but boy, the government, see, that until the tax code gets changed again, which it gets changed constantly, today has some benefits for people not making too much money with dependent children.
Yeah, well, if you make less than $46,000 as a family, Joe, you're eligible.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
1-888-221-8990. So back to Joe Martek.
Yeah.
Starting these shows back in 04, give or take.
How do you know that?
Because we don't know. But here's what we did. We knew we were doing them before Hurricane Francis hit, which was in 04.
Right,
so we're using that as our official start date because none of us can remember back except we knew where we were during the hurricane.
That's pretty
we
sad.
We were not on a radio that day.
You're pretty sad. That was only 12 years ago, Joe.
Well, okay. It was in May of 04 we started.
All right,
maybe,
there you go. Maybe.
We are in 2017.
Well, yeah, but the early stages, yes. Okay. That's right.
Technically, 13.
You're correct.
I have to keep our CPA.
Well, you know, you got to forgive me. It's only January 18th.
Yeah, listen, he's using an excuse for math. This doesn't work when you're a CPA.
No, seriously.
Put your abacus away.
let me ask you a question going back to the first call that we had about the interest deduction and the interest income.
Right.
The IRS today with the computers, I would think, is very, very sharp at picking things up. Let's say the gentleman reports the interest deduction, but his mother forgets to report the income. The odds are pretty good that the IRS may pick that up.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
The odds increase substantially if a 1099 is issued or a 1098 is issued by the payee.
Well,
gets mortgage interest.
Because they send that in.
They send it out to the IRS. Just the only way that they would pick that up, in my opinion, is if you claim a deduction for interest and you have to put down who you paid it to.
Right.
The only way they're going to really pick that up is upon audit. So if you got audited, they see that.
And
they might
still
look. If it was substantial enough, they would look for the other side.
Yeah.
Other than that.
But bottom line is, she should and he should. One should claim it, one should deduct it. You know, I mean, it's an insignificant type of thing. That was not my concern for them so much, you know, from a tax standpoint. But my concern is potential liability and loss of house. One chance in 1,000 or 10,000 because of lawsuits.
Absolutely right, Joe. That's a very valid point to make. And the lawyers really should be addressing.
You can't have a homestead unless you live in it.
Right.
And if one of the two. I knew another guy, he tried to have two homesteads, one for his wife and one for him, two different locations. Counties don't like that.
Mm.
Are you never living with her?
Mm.
Uh-huh. You know, what I'm trying to say is it becomes a really difficult situation. If you're on both deeds, it becomes a little bit difficult. So you got to be a bit careful on that thing.
Absolutely. But the counties pick up on this stuff.
Oh, man, big time. This guy almost went to jail last time I knew because he was double, triple dipping, and he didn't think governments, with the power of computers today, what they can find out.
And what's being reported. You don't even know what's being reported. Somebody, for example, who claims a Florida domicile as a resident, has their mail forwarded, you know, for more than 6 months out of the year, somehow the government finds out about it.
Yeah.
The county finds out, and they inquire. They send you a letter. We notice you haven't been here in a while.
Yeah.
You haven't been here for 6 months. Are you a resident?
Well, you know, if you own 12 houses, you got to claim one as a homestead, in theory. Now, it gets kind of fuzzy on how many days. You can't rent it, but, 20 days a year, you can, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's all kinds of goofy rules. But look at all these extremely wealthy people, especially here in Florida, that might have 5 and 6 houses. They're going to pick one that's the most advantageous to them as a homestead. But normally what they've got is what's called a good CPA, good tax man. They can make sure they do things according to the book.
And, you know, we have a great thing here in Florida, Joe, the Save Our Homes Amendment that was passed back moons ago.
Yeah, right.
Which, you know, limits the amount of property taxes that they can assess you on a year-by-year
3%
basis.
3%
a year.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's only on the assessed valuation, not on the millage rate. I figured that out.
In other words, your
assessment can only go up so much.
Yeah.
But the millage rate.
They could change the millage rate.
They could change the millage rate and your taxes would go up more than 3%.
Of course. But the value of the houses they assess it cannot go up more than 3% a year.
Correct. So it's a beautiful thing.
Well, it's a wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, the whole concept was, especially if you take this retired couple, they pay $50,000 for their house, but it happens to be on a gorgeous piece of land, and now it's worth $2 million because it's commercial, and they want to live in it.
Mm.
If all of a sudden they reassessed it at $2 million for taxes.
So now they're getting taxed at a $2 million valuation.
That
would put them right out of their houses.
Amen. Just like that. They'd be gone. So anyway, 1-888-221-8990. So I started doing these radio shows back.
He just can't get it out.
And the concept was to put a group of credible local professionals on these shows to help people. Now, what I did not want to do and I've seen people do this where one person is in charge, meaning they own everybody and everybody works in the same office. And I did not want that. I've always felt the best people don't work in this pyramid organization. They work on their own. They go out on their own. So I wanted to find, in my opinion, the best people in our target marketplace. And I feel relatively comfortable. No, I can't say that because he's sitting here and he hit me.
Relatively comfortable. Imagine that.
Relatively. Anyway, so Vince Rizzino, CPA, also a forensic CPA, which is a court designation that he's acknowledged and as an expert witness in testifying for or against. He also used to teach university level.
That's true. Actually, I must have qualified as a rabbi at one time, Alan. Under your definition of a rabbi, right? I was a rabbi at one time.
Yeah, but he had a problem speaking Yiddish, so they wouldn't let him in the temple.
That's right. It's true. They wouldn't let me in the temple.
They wouldn't let him in. Then, Mr. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word. Independent insurance agent. Those of you that have lived in Florida since 1992 when Hurricane Andrew hit and it obliterated South Florida and it put about 13 insurance companies out of business. And from that day forward, the insurance industry changed dramatically. Some of the single company carriers all of a sudden said, whoops, we need to get rid of 100,000 policies in Florida. So they non-renewed or double tripled their rates. Well, if you're the agent, it's guilt by association. They're not happy. So an independent agent was critical because they don't work for one insurance company. They work for the insured. And they may have 10, 20, 30 companies. Dan has been in business 37 years and has pushing 100 companies.
Yep.
And he, in my really not humble opinion at all, is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast.
That difference really comes down to, Joe, is who do they really work for?
Exactly.
If they're an independent agent, they're working for you.
They're working for you.
If they are a captive, they're working for that insurance company.
They're working for it because that insurance company tells them what they can and cannot do, period.
Exactly.
Which leads me to Greg Fasula, attorney. One of the first.
Great guy.
One of the first things I do when I meet a new suspect or prospect is talk about a will or a trust. And I feel it's kind of my responsibility to stir the pot a little bit to get the cart and the horse in a proper order. Like this lady was saying, they're joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Well, a lot of people don't know what that is until they live through it. Tenants by the entireties is another category.
Joint tenants or tenants in common?
Yeah. I mean, so there's all kinds of ways things need to be done, and they need to be explained. And the best person to explain it is usually an attorney.
Absolutely.
Greg happens to be the only attorney I know personally I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor, even though he is a flaming liberal. You know that part. But
I don't know about the flaming part.
I forgive him for that. Anyway. He's just a flat, good guy. He helps people. He goes out of his way to help people. He's fair. He's a good listener. He's not arrogant. He's not pretentious. He's just a good guy.
He's a good guy. I use him for all my personal stuff.
Everything in the world that comes down the pike, I run through Greg first. And if Greg says, I don't do that, Joe, here's somebody that I know that does, and whatever it might be. Greg is not one of those attorneys that automatically will say, I'll do it, and doesn't know what it is. Then they go learn on your dime. And Alan, we've all seen attorneys that do that. So the concept with Greg is he only does where his areas of expertise. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working person that I know personally alive. She's been in real estate since 1978, knows every street in these two counties, and she'll tell you the flat facts. She won't sugarcoat anything. If anything, some people will say, well, she's too honest. And I said, well, I've never heard of a person that's too honest, but she won't lie under any circumstances. She's going to tell you what your properties are, what your options are, what you might look forward to going forward. Anyway, she's going to tell you the straight skinny, which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who probably has done more to help our clients in our group than anybody else because the mortgage business changed so dramatically in the last few years. In fact, we had a call from Bulldog today.
You did?
Yeah. Bulldog, that's his nickname, by
the way.
I know.
I've heard of Bulldog.
Anyway, Bulldog bought a house. Ms. Victoria Lloyd got the house. Mike did the mortgage. Dan did the insurance. Greg did the will. Now, Bulldog is going to sell that house and move because Grandma, who he lives with, the grandkids live further away. They move. So she's got, you understand this, Vince?
No. It's too confusing.
I know. Anyway, it was an interesting thing where he had a question because he has a VA mortgage. can you have more than one VA mortgage? Well, technically, no. But if you have one and you sell your house, you can have another one. Hmm. But you're not supposed to buy a house to rent under a VA mortgage. Okay. And supposedly you have a year's period of time you're supposed to inhabit that before you decide to go rent it. But you can have more than one VA mortgage. Anyway, it was just a new wrinkle.
Interesting.
Because VA mortgages, you don't have to put any money down.
Yeah, I like that.
Which is another nice thing. And you still have to qualify. You have to prove you can afford it, which is the good rule today. We're back to the old rules where you have to prove you can pay. And the VA mortgage is a no money down. And there's also a USDA.
USDA, yeah.
Which allows for no money down.
You have to qualify income-wise, and that changes by county, Joe.
Can't make too much, can't make too little.
There's a window you got to fit into that.
But the thing with Mike that I love dearly about Mike, I had a client of mine, retired banker, and she says, Joe, I'm going to go buy a house. And I says, well, good, you're going to get a mortgage? She goes, yeah. And I says, well, you should call Mike. And she goes, no, I'm a banker. I'm a retired banker. I know what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I said, okay. And I call her Aunt Phil. That's not her name, but that's what I've always called her because that's what they call her. Anyway, so she goes and applies to her bank and who she knows and been dealing with. And 3 weeks later, they turn her down. Now, Alan, you might know this. If you walk into any bank normally, they don't tell you within 15 minutes. They go through a process because the person taking the application has no authority to say or do anything. So it goes through a committee, which then goes through all of the paperwork to find out 3 weeks later, yes, no, or maybe.
Right.
Mike will tell you in 15 minutes on the phone because he can run a credit report right now and say, hey, here's where you stand based on what we've got when getting a mortgage. So poor Aunt Phil called me up. Joe, you still got that guy's name that does mortgages? And I said, yeah. Phil, what happened? She goes, oh, I'm so embarrassed. And I said, what happened? She goes, I got turned down. I said, Phil, you're a retired banker. How did you get turned down? I mean, you know, I never pick on anybody.
Nah.
So she says, I forgot that I co-signed a loan for a nephew of mine up north. And of course, he didn't pay. So now it took Mike about 2 months to straighten it out, but he got her financed. But, you know, there's a situation that needed to be addressed. Now, the other bank, they didn't come up and counsel her. They just said, boop, goodbye, which is not abnormal. Yeah.
You know what also about Mike is he's not just a paper pusher. What I mean by it, he doesn't just process applications and give you advice. He actually is a business guy. I mean, he'll come out and discuss your needs and some alternatives with you and talk to you like a real businessman, not just a mortgage application receiver.
It's exactly right. Well, he's a counselor.
Yeah, he's a counselor. What absolutely he does, right.
He's not just an application taker. He's a counselor. And I think what our group, as I look at it, everybody in our group's a counselor. You know, we try to help people and try to educate. 1-888-221-8990. Hey, I was just...
Where's Alan? Alan's been so quiet. Alan
would like to talk a little bit about something you mentioned regarding credit report and credit score. Vince, how accurate would you say those credit scores are when you go on the computer to one of these sites that say free credit scores?
I can't really answer that because I've never used them.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. I mean, I'd only have myself to judge. I mean, I know what my credit score is with the reliable sources. I don't know what it is on unreliable sources. So I can't really answer that. I would just say if you really want to know, go to one of the credible sources. You know, go to Experian or...
Some of them say they use on these quote sources, Experian. Now, if they say that, of course, you know, if it's on the internet, you know it's true.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bonjour.
You do know that story, Dave, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, Alan, you know that story?
Yes.
It's a commercial.
Yeah. It's a commercial. This guy's talking to this girl. They're standing on the step outside, and she says, I got a date. And he says, oh, yeah, how'd you find your date? Well, on the internet. He's a French model. And he goes, yeah, really? And this, here comes this guy.
The
Alan makes this guy look good looking. I'm telling you. This guy walks up to her, and he is the goofiest looking guy. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. So we've always said if it's on the internet, it probably doesn't even get close to being true most of the time. When I listen to people say, well, this is where I got that,
you could sell anything on the internet.
Well, you know, how much is true? In fact, I had a couple of people during the election process, oh, Joe, this is some information they've got on so-and-so. You should see this. And I said, does anybody check it out? Oh, you know it's got to be true. Look at the source.
Yeah.
I said, what's the source?
The internet.
Well, you don't even know if the source is true. You know,
These days, it's the Russians. Everything.
It's the Russians are in everything, right? And if it's not the Russians, was it written in Chinese, though? That's what I want to know. Anyway, the key is you've got to be careful. And when you've got local people helping you, local professionals, these people go out of their way to make sure you're getting a straight skinny. Let me take another call.
Call, yes.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good, I enjoy your program.
Thank you. Good.
I would ask a question. If you had, my husband worked to the school board, he had left this. When you take out invest money and you don't pay the tax on until you take it out.
Right.
Okay, I had to use it to for a funeral service, and I want to know. They took out almost $7,000 for the money I took out.
Well, you took out $7,000?
No, they charged me that much when I took the money out.
Was it a retirement program?
Yeah, it had to be her husband's retirement.
So then he was early retirement. So there's usually a 10% penalty plus taxes.
Here's the question. How old was your husband when you took that money out?
Oh, he's been deceased 5 years, so he's been like 70.
So there shouldn't have been a penalty, but what happens is there is personal income tax. So if they charged you $7,000, you must have taken out around $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
There you go. So because what happens is it's personal income tax has to be paid on that money. And that's why they took the $7,000.
You see, what happens, caller, is if it's your traditional IRAs or 401ks, is that you don't pay taxes on it when you contribute into the fund or into your account. So it comes off the top. So let's say you make $25,000 and you put $5,000 into a 401k, they only tax you on $20,000. That other five goes into this fund, which grows until you retire. And then once you take it out at retirement, they charge you your income taxes then, under the theory that you'd be in a lower tax bracket when you retire.
They didn't realize you were going to have such an expensive funeral.
Exactly. So what happens is all this money that's accumulated inside these IRAs or 401ks are really untaxed money. What kind of a fund was it?
It wasn't an expensive funeral.
It wasn't an expensive funeral.
It was an expense. No, you just took the money out regardless, that's all. Yeah, and you had to pay.
No,
yeah.
No, this is what they told me. They told me that I need to take it out because I had somebody had contributed no money in there. They won't let me contribute no money into it.
No, you cannot. Once he passes, you cannot contribute money on into that account.
No, I was trying to do it while he was...
still working?
Oh, only he could do it through salary reduction.
Yeah, he had to be working for the company still, and they would deduct it from his paycheck. Now, it can get complicated here. You can roll that 401k into what's called an IRA, which is an individual account, and then as long as he was working, you can still contribute, even if he didn't work for the same company. But those days are gone because after you turn 70, and even if you are working, you can't contribute anymore. Unless you have a 401k and there's certain rules working for that company, which are exceptions to the rule.
Right. And you can always put it into a Roth.
I know. Nothing is simple, is it? But here's the bottom line is when you took that $30,000 out, it was subject to personal income tax, and the personal income tax rate they calculated was roughly that $7,000, and that's just the rules.
So when I file, I have to turn the whole amount, plus the tax they took, or what?
No.
No, what happens, caller, is when you go to have your taxes done by a preparer or a CPA, whatever you use, you'll be getting in the mail by the end of this month what's called a 1099-R. The R stands for retirement distribution. So what happens is the fund or the company that holds that money, who then released it to you, will be required to report that payment to the IRS. Then you will, and they'll report how much was withheld from you on that money. So you'll claim it on your taxes.
You won't have to pay any more money, probably.
Probably not, depending on your income tax bracket. If you, you know, if you're,
If you made $100,000 this year, you might have to pay a little more. But you did. All I'm trying to say, the odds are good you won't have to pay any more, and you may even get a portion of that back. But right. You need to file your taxes, you and your husband, or you individually if he's deceased, and show that, and then once your taxes are filed, you might get some back.
Okay. I only wanted to take out like $7,000, and the company said, no, we want you to take all of it out. I said, that's not what I want.
Well, yeah. Here's not your fault, but you should have contacted a financial professional like Joe Martek. You ever hear of that guy that's on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay. And he would have helped you make that transition and not had to pay all that tax.
Because you could have rolled it into an IRA and then only took out what you needed.
Or you may not have taken any.
You may not have taken any.
What I'm trying to say is they didn't do you a favor. They should have counseled you, which they did not do. You could have rolled that and not paid a dime in tax. And if you took out $1,000 or $2,000,
then you only pay tax on the two.
Yeah.
They forced you to take it all, which means you had to pay taxes on all of it.
Here's another question. How long ago did you take that money?
It was last year, March.
Well, never mind. You don't need to know the rest of it. It's too late. What I'm trying to say is you're done. Now it's over with. So now you need to get to a tax preparer. Vince is a CPA. If you can't find somebody, Vince will help you. You can call us back, okay? Okay, what's your office number, Vince?
It's 772-221-9930.
Yep. Correct. 221-9930. You call Vince and make an appointment, and he'll help you.
You say 772?
Right.
Correct.
Okay, so what about foreclosures? If he co-signed for someone, and then something happened, he had the power of attorney before he passed, and then they want us to go get a probate, so I don't know how to do it.
Ooh. Now we need to get an attorney involved. You're getting. Here's what you do. You make an appointment with Vince. Let him counsel you, and maybe he can direct you to help you with the rest of that.
Absolutely. Give me a call, caller.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You know that this is a heavy duty counseling session because you need to know all of the. This gets complicated.
And when you throw that in, you better get the call.
You can throw that in. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, good evening, Joe. How are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks for calling.
Wonderful, and thank you for taking my call. You guys are doing a good job. I'm new in this area, but I'm trying to, listening to your program, I'm trying to get me a good tax preparer and someone who can clean my credit up. I know my situation is not bad because I'm a guy who tried to stay in line, but because of certain little things, you know, we can talk about that at a later time. But the question is, a good tax preparer and cleaning up my credit.
Did you hear Vince talking to that lady just before and gave you his phone number?
772.
Right. You got a pencil? Are you driving or are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down, but I'm in the vehicle.
Okay. You got a pen and a paper?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you write this number down.
Uh-huh.
772-221.
Okay.
9930.
All right, let me repeat. 772-221-9930.
Correct.
Now, that's Vince Rizzino, CPA. He'll counsel you and help you to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Okay.
And if you get into the voicemail call, or just dial extension 10, it'll get you to me quicker.
Oh, extension 10.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and you guys keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thank you
God
for calling.
God bless you. Okay.
We got 5 minutes left. We can still take another phone call.
It should be coming through.
Red blinker, a green blinker. There's a lot of blinkers.
I think he's talking to an unrelated call.
Let me just talk a little bit about money for him.
Let's talk money.
You know, it's an interesting thing. This week, I had a very interesting young lady come in to see me. Her dad listened to the show and sent her in. And you know what, Vince? We take for granted a lot of things. She said, what's stock?
What is stock?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is true. You know, that's a, you think that was, everybody
this,
would know what
this
stock
was not
is,
an unsophisticated
right?
person. She's got a good job. She's educated. But you know what? If you've never, ever dealt with it and don't know what it is, it's something. Hey, until you get taught something, you just don't know it. Stock means you own a piece of the company. Just that simple. Like if it's General Motors, they issue millions and millions of shares of stock. And each one of those pieces of stock means you own one millionth or 1/10 millionth of that entire company. If you own 100,000 shares, you own more than that one share.
It becomes potentially embarrassing, Joe, because sometimes, even in my practice, I start talking to people about concepts right. that you think are very straightforward, everybody knows.
Yeah.
And then either one or two things happen. Either they stop you and say, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Or they say nothing and think you're just a braggadocious know-it-all.
Yeah.
You know, so...
We take for granted certain things that we hear. So I had to spend time. And then mutual fund. Now, you want to talk about fun. You explain a mutual fund to somebody that doesn't know what stock is.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That got really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So today's show, we're not going to go into it. But the next show, I'm going to spend some time going into the different pieces of investments that the average person knows. But if you... are not the average person, you've never invested, nobody in your family's ever done it, you don't know about it. And I got to thank her dad for sending her in, because not only did he want her to learn it, he wanted her to learn it so she could explain it to him.
I love it.
Because he had a retirement account with 4 different mutual funds in it. He had no clue what they were, none whatsoever. What do these things say? What's a WXGZ? Which is a symbol for one of these different funds. Anyway, it was a very interesting hour and something, and this poor girl, you know, you get overloaded trying to keep this simple. You know, I mean, I drew a circle, and I said, take this pie, right? Because they had a pie for her dad's account divided into 3 sections.
Love
okay,
it.
Now I got to explain the 3 sections, and it wasn't that easy.
Yeah, it's not that easy. So you know what I usually do, Joe? I usually beg their forgiveness right up front.
Yeah.
And I tell them, if I'm way over your head, let me know.
Stop
if you
me.
Don't understand, stop me.
Stop
because let me set the table for next week.
Do it.
A lot of millennials are being told the best thing they can do is buy a house. The second best thing they can do is learn what the stock market's about. And that, I think, would be great if we spend some time next week talking about it.
That would be a good topic.
Yeah, that's good. So we're going to spend some time on that and start to get into what is called the normal types of investments, because there's lots of them. How much time we got left?
Oh, we have about two minutes.
Two minutes. I think you could take that call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I have a question I want to ask you.
Okay. Turn your radio down.
I did.
Okay, good.
I have a house I lost in foreclosure 2003. It's been going on 19 years now. And then after I lost the house, I never heard anything from the mortgage company or nothing. Recently, it was 3 of us who signed the house. And then all of a sudden now they sent a letter to my brother, and then they went on his account and took money in his account.
Oh, boy. Listen, I'm not going to have time to talk to you on the radio, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you tomorrow. Are you home all day tomorrow or after a certain time?
Yeah, you can call me anytime tomorrow.
Let me call you tomorrow because we've got 20 seconds left on the radio, and I can help you and counsel you and point you in the right direction, but we'll give you a call tomorrow. Is that okay?
That's what I need. Please do. What time can you call? You have my number, right?
I've got your number. It'll probably be somewhere around 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm hoping.
Please, I really need help because, you know, it's a big situation. I am now. I'm afraid of my house. I'm
You've been listening
now.
To the
okay,
team.
Okay, we got
to
say goodbye. The show the is over. Thank you for calling. I'll call you tomorrow.
Program. Okay,
the
bye-bye, everybody.
Is provided
bye.
By H-
requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm.
Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.